Open your Bibles this morning to the fourth chapter of Romans. While you're turning there, what grace it is to be blessed of God. As sinners, we know what it is we deserve. The Lord brings us to that point of knowing our standing before God in this flesh. But aren't you thankful that He doesn't leave His people there? Shows us the grace of our Savior. In Ephesians chapter 1, we are told that all spiritual blessings come by the way of Jesus Christ. That's in verse 3. We are also told that there are those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Election. That's in verse 4. And in verse 5, we are told that we are predestined to be unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. Because the Son of the living God, Christ the Lord, because of Him and what He has done, Christ and Him crucified, we've been redeemed by the shedding of His blood. That's what we read in verse 7 of Ephesians. What a most wonderful blessing it is to learn of our state before a thrice holy God. We've all walked in the flesh at one time, completely blind to what the true blessings of God are, thinking they were just something out there dangling in front of us that we had to reach out and grab a hold of, not knowing that our state was so destitute, so depraved that we couldn't even reach out. Not only could we not reach out, we didn't want to. We didn't want to have that one who rules over everything rule over us, did we? He who came to us when we were yet dead in trespasses and sin, we who were laying in our own blood and filth, our Lord and Savior walked by and said, "Live." He quickened us, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. We walked according to the prince of this world, living as others, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. We were by our very nature as others, children of wrath, as it says. But God, who is rich in mercy, has a great love for His people, so much so that He sent His Son to be our substitute. He provided Himself our sacrifice. He provided Himself our scapegoat, our Redeemer, our Lord, our King, our Priest. Look with me, if you would, in our text in Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I don't know about you folks, but that really blesses me a lot. Walking around in this flesh every day, 7 days a week, hearing those words from my Lord and Savior spoken to my heart just blesses me greatly. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about iniquities forgiven. There was a time in my own life when that word was too big for my vocabulary. I was a truck driver, and I'll just leave it at that. You can guess what my vocabulary usually was. Norm was introducing me to a lady up there in Oregon that runs a gun shop, and he said, "She used to be a dispatcher for a trucking company. She dispatched like 30 truck drivers. You can imagine what her language is be. Don't be offended. I said, Norm, it takes a whole lot more than that to offend a truck driver. No, iniquity was not something you would find in my vocabulary at all. It's a rather large word. According to the Webster's dictionary, it means immoral or grossly unfair. Here are some of the synonyms that are used to describe this big word: wickedness, sinfulness, immorality, atrociousness, evil, sinful, vileness, criminal, offense, violation, wrongdoing. That just about sums up John Reeves all the way through. Is there any of those words fit us? What did it say in our text? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Folks, that's just a sample. Those definitions are just a sample to give us an idea of what God's word is telling you and I, what He is saying to our hearts. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. Turn over to Numbers chapter 15, if you would, with me for just a moment there. Numbers chapter 15. We'll leave Romans. The God of all creation is a holy God. That means He cannot even look upon sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and threw the entire nature of every man, every woman, every child that would ever walk this earth into a nature of condemnation, a nature of sin, we were separated from God. He took them and out of the garden. They could no longer be in the presence of God. Not without the shedding of blood, and it has to be perfect blood. Which is why the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is our message once again. Same message I preached Wednesday night, and as I told those folks, the same message I preached last Sunday, and I told them I preached the same message today too. Look at Numbers 15, verses 30 and 31. Numbers chapter 15, verses 30 and through 31. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Speaking of doing the sin, those who sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 31, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. That's what it's talking about in Ephesians when it says that we walked according to the nature of this world. All by nature shall have their iniquity upon them and shall have to answer for it before a holy God. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we help the poor? Saying, in the name of Jesus, wasn't that enough? No. Salvation is a heart matter. We've spoken about this many times in the last few weeks. The devils know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And they tremble. And they're not saved. The angels that fell are condemned to hell forever. Just as those who do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as those who the Lord did not shed His blood for. And once again, the whole object of us talking about this on Sunday mornings, on Friday nights, whenever we gather together, is once again to raise our Lord and Savior up for His mercy and grace to you and I. To remind us. It's coming to this table. We come to the table to remember what He has done. Because we're weak in the flesh. And even in the flesh, we go out of this room and we go out into the world, and within 2 minutes, 2 seconds of being out that door, our mind can wander off away from who our Savior is and think there really is something to do with this flesh, isn't there? Now look at verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they had found him gathering sticks, and they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him in a ward, because it was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord saith unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. This is exactly what we deserve. Judgment. Yet there was one who gave himself for us to be judged in our stead. What a picture of the cost of sin. To you and I, to all of the people of God, to all of those for whom the Son laid down His life, to all of those that the Father had given Him before the world was, we see mercy and grace. Because we're not receiving this picture that we just saw of sin, of the cost of sin. Our Lord received it for us. But let's not overlook what this man's sin was. You see, he was doing a work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest. Do all you need to do Monday through Saturday. No, Sunday through Saturday. And on the Sabbath day, rest. The work of preparing your meals or any other type of work was proclaimed to be a sin if it had been done on that day. The people of God, to these people of God, and that's what Israel was a picture of, the people of God, God's chosen people. And one of the laws given to Moses was to rest on that Sabbath day. All that you might need for that day was to be prepared the day before, so that on that day there would be no works of the hand of men. And this too, that very law was a picture of not mixing the works of men with the grace of deliverance by God. Grace and works do not mix. God declares grace and works cannot mix in the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Can you get any more plainer than that? But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Our works are an iniquity in the sight of God. And we are full of sin. Everything we do is tainted with sin. That's why our blood can never be shed on any cross for our sins. You can take John Reeves' blood from here till eternity and it's never going to pay for one sin because it's tainted with sin. It's tainted with the very sin that the blood needs to cover. And the only one who is perfect in the sight of God was His Son, the Lord Jesus. Aren't you thankful? Is that not good news? Our iniquities are covered in Him. Do you need a Savior? As I had said earlier, God has loved a people before the world was, a people chosen unto salvation through the wonderful works of Christ. Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He's the fulfillment of all of the law. So that the Scriptures should be fulfilled is what He says in His Word. He is our Sabbath, our day of rest. We rest in His works. Turn over to the 51st Psalm if you would please. Psalms number 51. The people of God are brought to an understanding. We have nothing to offer God for our iniquities. We are broke, completely depraved of any righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags according to His Word. And one of the most perfectly righteous to stand with God, one must, in order to be perfectly righteous and stand with God, one must be as holy as He is. You must be as holy as He to be in His very presence. David, a man after God's own heart, knew this. How did he know it? The same way you and I do. God's Word spoke to him. When sin had risen up in David, in his flesh, he cried unto the Lord. Look at verses 1 through 12 of Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me. Remember that poor guy over in the corner? We've talked about several times in the last few weeks, that poor beggar who's down on his knees pounding his chest. What is David doing here? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. Not because of anything I have within myself, he says, but because of Thy loving kindness. Folks, we don't have anything to stand on. But we do have everything to stand on, don't we? If we're a child of God, we have Christ Jesus, and that is everything you need. According to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, blot out my iniquities, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, and Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. This is not an offer. This is a cry unto the Lord who can and does. David is crying out that, Lord, I know You're the only one who can, and I know You will if I belong to You. Make me, verse 7, verse 8, to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Does your heart burn within you when you hear about the salvation of the Lord? Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. His cry was, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. How are our iniquities forgiven? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Ephesians chapter 2 some very familiar words that we read all the time. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, but God. The question, I say again, how are your iniquities forgiven? But God. who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Don't you just love that? Knowing that our Lord has loved us with an everlasting love, we have nothing to fear. We don't even have to fear that sin that is ever before us in this flesh. Because it's all been laid upon Him. He who knew no sin was made sin that we would be made righteous in Him. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, given us life. Together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look with me at chapter 53 of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah is crying out, who hath believed the report that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord. He's the right hand of God. The strength of God Almighty is in the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as our... And we hid as it our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. There was no transgressions in God. There was no transgressions in Jesus. He fulfilled the will of the Father perfectly. He did everything that the Father wanted of him. He fulfilled all the scriptures perfectly as our substitute. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How is it? How is it that we are saved? How is it that our iniquities are forgiven? Blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Abraham believed God, and righteousness was imputed to him. Whosoever believeth shall have everlasting life. That's what the Lord says in John 3:16. Whosoever. Who are those that are the whosoever? All those that the Father giveth him. His elect. Those who he has chosen to make vessels of mercy. Again in Ephesians 2 verse 8 we read this, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I ask you this, who can resist the will of God? Who can turn the hand of God? Oh, to be blessed of God, what mercy and what grace. This is what is left for man if God is not for us. We read in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, strive to enter into the gate, into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Picture this for just a moment. The ark, when the Lord God flooded this world, it began to rain, and who closed the door on that ark? Remember the story? Did Noah and his members of his family get in there and pull on the chains and raise that ark up, you know? No. It says God closed the door of that ark. Now, let's remember one other thing about that story. Did God open that door back up again? Nope. 8 souls. Imagine all those who watched Noah all those days building this big old huge box, thinking, what do you mean it's going to rain? What in the world is that? You're just as crazy as can be, old fart. Just as crazy as can be. And then all of a sudden, the rains come. And they realize right then and there, uh-oh, we're not in that ark. And they're not getting in. Once again, we see the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior in saving a people at all. He said to everyone outside that ark that day, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The word knew, when the Lord states that, I never knew you, is a personal, intimate knowledge. Not just a knowledge of who you are. Not just a knowledge of everything about you. But the knowledge of a woman and a man in marriage. Intimately. He knows his people. And he says this, my sheep hear my voice. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know, that we hear the voice of God speaking through his scriptures because he first loved us? Is your trust in something that you have done this morning? Something that you are doing? Or does the event at Calvary, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, cover your iniquities? If you can say with all of your heart, there was a man in a chariot out in the middle of a desert. And God sent one of his preachers out to speak to that man in the desert. That's what we have here. That's what it is outside of God's word. It's a desert. It's dry bones. And Philip went out and came to a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in there reading from the book of Isaiah. He asked Philip, who's this talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about another man? And Philip joined him in the chariot and began to preach Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that our iniquities were laid on him, that we walk in the sight of God in his righteousness alone. Amen.